Todman, the running back to the left of Bortles. He's in a shotgun. Straight drop. Four-man rush. It's only a three-man rush. Bortles fires it out to the right side. That's caught. Inside the 20-yard line. Allen Robinson still on his feet. Inside the five. Inside the net. Touchdown, Jaguars! Robinson got away from a tackle, and the Jags are on the board. A 31-yard touchdown pass. Two tight end set. Denard Robinson, the running back. Under center is Bortles. They'll give it to Denard, running to the left. Down to through the corner. Inside the five-yard line. Dives to an anthem. Touchdown, Jacksonville! How do you like that? Denard Robinson burst into the end zone. And the Jaguars lead by 10.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Ah, Tony Smith finally gets some love. Balls Davis never gives you any love.
Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey coming up next.
That's something between me and Balls. We'll have to handle that on the side.
You should, man. You've been well prepared with our Oklahoma drills. Jaguars Today with Ryan O'Halloran starts right now. The big Ryan O, what's up? How are you? Turn him up there, Tony. Where is... Speak again there. We'll figure it out because or either that or switch headsets.
Yeah, try the other headset.
Try the other headset. We only bring what we do is that one sounded like it was working fine. I don't know what the deal was. Oh, that sounds so much better, Ryan. Everyone now gets to hear your mirthful voice to lead us off on this Wednesday morning.
I prefer dulcet tones.
The dulcet tones. Everyone goes with dulcet tones. How are you? We wanted to get you in early because we know you are a responsible reporter who actually charts these practices, and I'm not sure what that means, but I know you actually do work while the rest of us stand on the sideline and just kind of look at stuff.
Yeah, and basically what I try to keep track of stuff so I don't think in my head, okay, why am I out here?
Ah, gotcha.
So just
okay.
It takes my mind off.
It's kind of busy work.
Yes,
for you.
Yes.
It distracts you.
I don't think this is going to be too bad out here today, but if it was like a real steamer,
yes,
it's like, okay, I'm out here. To take my mind off how hot it is, I might as well concentrate on football.
Gotcha.
But, but you can tell different things. I mean, it's a good barometer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, it's first full pad practice, right? So we get to see a little bit more of focus on the guys that you can't tell a whole lot about in mini camps and OTAs, things like that. I want to see how these linemen play. I want to see how the running backs play when they're getting thudded up a little bit. But, you know, obviously disappointment for them to basically have a practice wiped out on Monday. But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they were able to hit the field. You're out here, of course, for all of it. What stood out to you, if anything, over those 3 days?
Well, I think a couple things, and really I'll point to Sunday where they had shoulder pads on. It was basically as much contact as they're going to do in a practice.
Sure.
So I was impressed that the offensive line, you know, looked like they had some piss and vinegar in them. They're standing guys up. They're winning their share of one-on-one battles. They look like they're really into it. The other thing, and if you come out here as a fan, watching Devon House and Allen Robinson go after each other is very good competition. I think both of them are going to benefit from them. So those two guys.
Speaks well for House because Robinson really has looked good all summer, and I thought had an outstanding practice on Saturday.
He did, and he just, he's just so steady, and he's, you know, picked up where he left off, and couple other guys that have jumped off the page for me. Julius Thomas is their best player. Nick Marshall, it's hard to believe he's just starting to play corner. He seems to find the football. I like what Aaron Colvin's doing in terms of on offense. You mentioned Hearns, Robinson, Thomas, those skill guys. But really Sunday and then really picking up today is where you can zero in on the linemen.
All right, Blake Bortles. Right, Sunday to me, it looked like in some of the team stuff that he was having trouble finding guys open down the field, right? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the other quarterbacks weren't having as much difficulty. And sometimes that depends on who's in there defensively. But just overall, those 3 days of practice, what did you make out of what you saw out of Blake Bortles?
Well, I guess the positive from Bortles' perspective, he's not throwing interceptions. But he's also not going 9 of 9 or 7 of 7
right.
during those drills. So I think from him is, he's throwing down the seam. I mean, they haven't done 2 minute. They haven't done maybe more than a period of red zone. They definitely haven't done a lot of downfield throwing. So, you don't want to say this about a second-year guy. The guy's getting his work. and that's what he should be doing.
Yeah, and I described it as comfortable. You know, that's the way it feels like watching Blake Bortles, that he's comfortable with what he's being asked to do. And, yeah, the ball's not getting downfield a lot, but there are a handful of throws. I can remember out here on Saturday there was a corner route to Julius Thomas that was a really nice throw. The touchdown to Clay Harbor on Sunday was an excellent throw in 7-on-7.
The pass to Thomas looked like, was it like a post corner?
Yeah.
Threw it right over Telvin Smith, who can really jump, so that was perfectly placed. And one thing about Blake is he talked about having a command of the offense. You can see that there's very few operational errors. I mean, the whistle isn't being blown because guys don't know where to go. The whistle isn't being blown because he didn't know the play. So I think that's what the positive is, and that's one of the things Blake said last week is about owning this system.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time, obviously.
Sure, and I think it's good for a group of young playmakers that they're expecting to develop here in their second year for the Jags to be going up against maybe the best or the second-best unit on this team, right? With the cornerbacks that they have on this team, they feel really good about that group of guys, and I think it's good for them to be working against one another, sharpening each other's skills every day.
Yep, and look for that to continue today.
Sergio Brown just came out to a small chorus of woos, the Ric Flair. Woo, people are catching on with him. What have you seen from Sergio? Obviously, he's getting first crack at winning that free safety job.
I guess the for him is the fact I haven't noticed him, I guess, is good. So that was my thing on Sergio, is especially with that position, the knock on him coming here is, okay, he needs to improve as a tackler. We're not going to find that here.
Right.
We have to wait and see. But he seems, I mean, the secondary, I mean, they made an emphasis of creating more turnovers. It does seem like they're breaking up more passes in practice.
Yeah, he had one on a tip ball that came his way, and he couldn't corral it on Sunday, I believe it was. Kind of bounced mm-hmm. off his chest a little bit, wasn't able to bring that one in. Marquise Lee, running right now behind Alan Hearns. He's had some up and down couple of days. What are you seeing from him, and what are you hearing in terms of what the coaching staff wanted to see from him, and are they getting it?
Well, what they wanted to see was him participating, so that's a positive. I'm sure he had to knock off some rust. He's had a couple. Man, I think a lot of these guys have had drops. His have just been noticeable, you know, in the end zone.
Yeah, that one big one in the end zone.
Where
sure.
It looked like he didn't need to jump for it, but did. But they gave him a day off Monday, which pretty much everybody had a day off. But, for Marquise now, it's staying on the field, I think, is the key, because you do see him, shifting into a bit higher gear as the days go along.
What are you looking for today, first padded practice?
Well, I'm hoping the first thing is, do they add a segment or two to make up for the other night? And also, do they start doing a little bit of two-minute, a little bit more of the offense-defense competition that's been a hallmark at Gus's first two camps, where he keeps score, there's going to be a winner, and that gets the intensity ratcheted up.
Yeah, they love to hype that stuff. All right, for you, what are you going to be writing about this week in the Florida Times Union?
Trying to think about that.
Oh yeah, I got to actually cash that check eventually.
Well, my responsibilities the next 3 days are the camp reports, which is basically all the nuts and bolts of the practice. But tomorrow, Hayes Carlion's got a good story. He ranks Dave Caldwell's draft picks from 1 to 24 here in terms of who has the most roster security.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah.
So that'd be a nice little talking point. But you're not going to ask me about the Justin Blackman story today.
Well, tell. What about the Justin Blackman story? You know, here's the thing. I agree. You're correct in that it looks like Justin Blackman is going to play for this team. I will still go to my grave saying you're incorrect in saying that he was never very good to begin with.
Okay.
Agree
to disagree on that one.
All right.
But I think a subplot of that in the story today is the reason that they haven't cut him yet is they want to see if they can get some of that money back, up to $4 million. Who knows if
Why
he has it.
Why should they go after it?
And Gene Smith negotiated that in that contract, some clauses. So
if he were going to try to, in good faith, come back, I don't think that would be an issue, right? He would have, but you would have seen, obviously, based on the comments of Dave Caldwell yesterday that you guys reported on, he's not making any, show no inclination to return to the National Football
League. Yeah, that to me, and that means, like, I mean, it'd be one thing if he was in Oklahoma training his butt off,
right,
down in shape, and basically the Jaguars are saying, okay, you're not going to play for us, but when you're reinstated, if you meet these conditions, we'll release you and you can go find a job on your own.
Right.
But Dave hit it on the head, and it's something we've talked about before, is maybe he's fine being a suspended player and going on with life, which is perfectly his choice.
That's his prerogative.
You know, it would help us if he decided to announce that.
Most of the rest of us would like to cash that lottery ticket, yeah. But, you know, everyone does.
And that's where obviously the fans are frustrated, is that they feel this guy could have been a difference maker. And they see somebody throwing that away. And but, you know, holding out hope that ship has long sailed.
Okay, can I, one final one here, and this is probably good timing to ask you right now as you're getting ready to leave us. Was the cancellation of practice in all due to concern about the field conditions at Mandarin High School the other day? I got him to laugh at least, Tony.
I was proud of that display.
Everyone should go to Jaguars.com, and if you haven't already, watch Monday's presser with Gus after the shortened practice.
Well, I'll say this, is that's been brewing for a while. You know, we're all professionals here. And if you're at these press conferences and you got a job to do, ask a damn question to keep the train moving and don't laugh. I have to ask questions that people laugh at because somebody has to get the information out of this guy. So that pissed me off.
Apparently it did. Apparently
you guys
did.
Weren't there for that, were you?
No, we weren't. I was working serious, and we're both doing radio shows at the time. So.
Okay. Were you at the high school the whole time?
No. I got out to the high school as JP was announcing that practice was canceled, so I went back to the station.
Well, that was good.
Yeah. I didn't want to stare at a field for 2 hours.
Ryan O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen, Florida Times Union on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran.
Quite, you got a kick out of that, by the way.
I did, and we enjoyed the hell out of that. Go go chart some practice, man.
Good all right, pals, all take right. care.
There he goes, Ryan O, checking in with us. We'll come back. Jeff Loggeman going to join us. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday, just getting started here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at the Florida Blue Practice Field. Stay with us on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, a Metro Rooter Wednesday, just kicking off here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, Jaguars today. Tony, it dawned on me as we went to break, I may throw out a question of the day.
Look, man, I'm out here working. I'm trying to get everything set up so that we can do a show.
This is the easiest show prep I've ever done.
Live from training camp. I rely on you to handle some things.
Make sure my backpack is full of all my drinks and my goodies before I walk out here. And question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealership. A lot of thought went into this one, Tony. Now that the Jags are in full pads, who are you most looking forward to seeing on the field? In other words, something that you'll be able to see in a full contact kind of practice that you might not have seen at an OTA or a minicamp kind of practice. With that, let's welcome him in at long last. He's back for 2015. Jeff Loggeman stopping by to say hello. Of course, Jaguar broadcaster extraordinaire, co-host of the Gus Bradley Show, along with, you guessed it, Gus Bradley, the head coach of the team.
And, how'd you figure that out?
Well, it's in the title. Jeffrey, how are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing good.
How's your summer?
You know, it's been good. It's been good. I've got no complaints whatsoever, but, you know, it seems like every year at this time of year, you sit there and you go, why is summer so short?
Right.
You know, I mean, and summer's not over with, but, I mean, essentially it is for me.
Right. Based on our calendar, summer, no matter what, you know, official season it is.
Yeah,
it's
I saw NFL football on 26 of the next 27 Sundays.
How about that?
In some degree.
Wow. The whole fame game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. I mean, if there was a way to end the summer, having football back, I mean, that's the only way.
That's the way to do it, right?
Absolutely.
That's the way to turn the page, man. Now, only 3 days on the practice field, but early returns. Of course, you took in a lot of the OTAs, minicamps, all that stuff as well. What are your early impressions on the newcomers to this football team, both the free agents and the rookie class?
We'll start with the free agents because those are the guys that you expect to step onto the field and really to make a significant impact right away. Julius Thomas's impact, I think,
great.
Is going to be huge. I mean, he's got, in fact, we really focused in and watched some film from the OTAs and minicamp on the Gus Bradley Show coming up this weekend about Julius Thomas. And, you know, you remember when SportsCenter, ESPN did the sports science specials?
And, oh, sure.
And one of them, they actually talked about catch radius of an athlete, of a wide receiver. You know, Julius Thomas has tremendous catch radius and catchability. Got great awareness with his feet. He's got subtleties in his moves that you would expect only out of a wide receiver, not so much of a tight end. I think the only thing that he really misses to be one of the elite, elite tight ends is that Jimmy Graham speed where he can go down the middle and just run by everybody. But he's got great speed, don't get me wrong. you know, but he doesn't have that super elite tight end speed. He has been tremendous. I think Blake Bortles is going to throw it to him. When Blake Bortles gets in crunch time and he feels the pressure and he's like, hey, I got to get rid of this ball, he's going to get automatically just look to number 80 because Julius Thomas is either going to do one of two things. He's either going to catch the ball or make sure that the ball is not caught by anybody else. So tremendous acquisition there. Jared Odrick, to me, excellent football player, got great flexibility and for this team, for what they needed, which was a strong side end, and then also a guy that may be able to play a three technique with the injury to Sendarek Marks. Great acquisition by Dave Caldwell. Big, strong, plays the game hard. He will have maybe the biggest impact on this team in all of the free agents this year.
Really?
Just because of his flexibility and his need for his services now. Because, you know, Julius Thomas is, you know, and his performance is so dependent on everybody else.
Sure.
You know, but Jared Odrick is fitting into a defense that was pretty good last year, and he's going to fill multiple roles. And he's going to fill them all. Because I, personally, I don't expect Sendarek Marks to be ready for the opener. I just don't. I think that's too much.
Even if he is, at what degree is he ready? If he's not going to play in the preseason, you know what I mean?
Well, you remember when Sendarek posted Twitter or whatever it was, you know, some videos, and he's going through bags.
Yes.
Doing some defensive line drills, and he feels pretty confident about how good it was and all that stuff. I'm sitting there watching, I'm going, he's not ready. You know, when you've been through that injury and you kind of know what to look for, you can see little subtleties in the way that the knee is moving and the leg's moving, and that you can see that he's not quite ready yet. And maybe he's ready by the opener, but I don't expect it. You know, the freak of natures, the Adrian Petersons and the Jerry Rice.
Right?
I mean, look, that's just, first of all, when Jerry Rice came back, Jerry Rice had a cadaver. Okay, and he came back, I think, in 5 or 6 months, ended up playing that one season. But that's too much to ask a big man to be able to do that who, first of all, doesn't have a cadaver and probably had a patellar graft. So I think it's going to take some time for him. Because I remember when I had my ACL, I didn't feel right until about 11 and a half months to where I felt comfortable playing in a game. You know, you're talking about a 300-something-pound man that the bulk of his power all comes from legs. And so if you're a little deficient in one quad, I think you have to be worried about injuries to other body parts. In that fashion.
Scuda, Sergio Brown, both of those guys expected to start at least to open the
season. Scuda is an immediate upgrade at a very weak position once you get past, you know, him and then Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny. You know, I'm a little bit excited about the young guy from Iowa. Oh, gosh, I'm 54. You got a roster? Let me have a roster.
Yeah, I got one right here.
And the reason I'm excited about him is last year we saw him when he was in Cincinnati.
Oh, Jeremiah George.
Jeremiah George. We saw him last year in Cincinnati, and he started at the Mike position. This
right.
was after Paul.
Got hurt right away.
Great quick twitch, great power, great short area quickness, much like the same thing Posluszny was talking about, T.J. Yeldon. Now, I'm a little concerned where they're playing him at. You know, they play him because last year they had him playing Mike. This year they have him playing weak side linebacker. I don't know if that really matters so much because you're not going to expect him to have to be on the field as a starter. But watch him on special teams. This guy is a thumper, you know, and he's going to be fun to watch. But kind of once you get past Roy and him, you know, you know, the one guy that I think that may have a chance is Armbrister, the guy from Miami.
He's been talked up a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. He's got a chance. But Dan Scuda, though, is going to be solid. He's going to give him quality reps as a pass rusher. He's one of those guys that gets the most out of everything that he has, but his ceiling is only so high. You know, but that's okay. I mean, you can win with guys like that. Give me those type of guys
every
day. He's
going to give you, and he's not going to dip below that level of performance
no.
very often.
Yeah, very consistent.
Consistent guy.
Very consistent.
Obviously, so much of this is dependent on the quarterback, as we talk here with Jeff Logman on Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jeff, Blake Bortles, just overall what you've seen from his approach to the offseason, the work he's done in mini camps and OTAs, and now the first few days of training camp.
Well, first and foremost is when he breaks the huddle, how does he act? You know, when he's in the huddle, he has complete command. He knows the offense, and I think that's a credit to him and how much work that he's put in learning and understanding Greg Olsen's offense, because even though the game is still the same and the defenses are still the same, to be able to understand the language and to be able to speak that language with the coaches is a difficult thing to acquire. It appears that he has it. You know, last year when you watched him all throughout training camp, lots of communication between the coach on the way from the huddle to the line of scrimmage in practice. You're not seeing any of that. You're seeing him communicate with the players on the field directly, so a significant improvement there. His accuracy is better. Some of the easy stuff is starting to look easy. You're not seeing the ball pushed down the field so much this training camp so far. But I think that's a result of a couple things. One, the design of the offense, and I'm not saying that the offense is going to be horizontal because I think it's going to have a very strong vertical element to it. But early in camp, they want to get the fundamentals down, and the fundamentals is get the ball out of your hand, don't take any sacks, and just move the chains. And that's what they need to do with a young quarterback, to take the pressure off of him. And eventually, I think we'll start to see the ball start to go down the field more.
We talk about how crucial it is for Blake Bortles to take that step up this year, and I think a lot of that depends on what's happening in front of him with that offensive line that was terrible. We've been talking about the new acquisitions. We didn't get to the guy that I'm most looking forward to in pads for the first time today, and that's Jeremy Parnell.
Yeah, Parnell's a big, long, strong guy. He's got a demeanor about him that just literally it oozes right tackle. You know, dominant traits as far as blocking goes. He's got a real nastiness to him at the end of the blocks. It was what you want to have. You pair him with Brandon Linder, and I was watching the film of Sunday's practice yesterday, going back, and then you can really concentrate in. Because, you know, when you watch it live, you can only gain so much because you're watching one or two guys and the overall success or not success of the play. But really, when you go back and you watch film, you can really hone in on guys. And watching him in the run game, He's strong. I mean, he's strong, and he gets movement. A lot of guys on the offensive line in the NFL are more positional. You know, tie guys up and kind of get in their
way.
Hold
their spot, right.
And he's a movement guy. And it's not very often that you have a movement guy at the NFL level. Well, now you got two of them. You got Brandon Linder and then Parnell next to each other. And all of a sudden, if you add Mercedes Lewis, a healthy Mercedes Lewis, who I just talked to a second ago, he's walking on the practice field, said he feels as healthy as he's ever been in a long time. You put those three together, that right side can be dominant.
It can be, but the left side critical as well. Luke Jokel, what is your expectation for how much he steps up his play this year?
Well, he's got the talent. You know, he's got the feet, and that's the prerequisite to being able to play left tackle. So you know that he's got the foundation. He's got the athletic ability. You know, so he's got to get some confidence. He's got to learn some of the technique and be able to stick with the technique and fight through some of the nuances of the technique. For example, Luke Jokel has been getting overpowered over the last couple of years with bull rushes. Well, his reaction is, okay, fight power with power. Well, he's fighting power with power the wrong way. He's ducking the head, trying to meet power with power. The way to take power on from a left tackle is to absorb the power and then regain your power. You know, and keeping your head up through that process. And, you know, you saw signs on Sunday, which was the first padded practice in one-on-one pass rush and different team plays, to where he's starting to learn that. I never saw him duck his head one time in Sunday's practice, which is progress in my book.
A big impact from Doug Marrone this year, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, Doug Marrone's an outstanding coach. He's got a little edge about him. He's got a little bit of that New Yorker in, you know, and sometimes that's a good thing, you know. A little kick-in-the-pants type of coach. And I think offensive line coaches should have a little bit of that in him. Todd Walsh has got a little bit of that in him on the defensive side of the ball. You know, so I think he's going to help that offensive line tremendously. It will help to settle down that left guard spot, Luke Jokel. You know, right now Zane Beatles is in there. You know, you've got A.J. Cann who's going to be fighting for some reps. You know, and through the OTAs and no pads, you look like, okay, Zane Beatles looks good, he looks good, he looks good. The first pad of practice, Zane Beatles looked okay. A.J. Cann, I think, opened my eyes a little bit. So that's going to be a significant battle. That and the center position are going to be significant battles in training camp to watch. The one thing that you hope is that the center position ends up getting solved fairly quick so that the comfort of the huddle, the comfort of the line calls, the comfort with the quarterback can go ahead and just start moving ahead.
We'll keep an eye on that one, Wisniewski versus the Virginia boy,
mm-hmm.
Luke Belanco.
Yeah, that might be one of the most interesting battles because Wisniewski's got snaps. You know, he's played a long time.
Started 61 games, man.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, he's going to win it hands down. And I say, whoa, you know, not so fast, my friend.
You know, if he doesn't, though, that's a great sign, isn't it, for Luke Belanco?
It would be a great sign for him. Luke Belanco has better athleticism. He's longer and he's more athletic than Wisniewski is. Wisniewski's kind of a grappler. You know, he's one of those guys who he's never going to get you killed, but he's always one of those guys that, you know, if he's on your roster, you're always looking to upgrade that position, much like the Oakland Raiders did by letting him go. You know, but if he has to start, I'm okay with it. But I think long-term, the answer will be a Luke Belanco guy who's more athletic and can snap. You know, on Sunday, the first padded practice, which is really the gauge for offensive linemen, I thought Wisniewski had a little bit of a step up on him. Now, you know, but it's only the first padded practice, really, you know, I mean, because
sure.
Monday's practice didn't go down, and then yesterday was a day off. So, you know, we're going to learn a lot today in full pads, even though the tempo's still the same with shoulder pads and full pads. Doesn't matter. It's all contact.
Right.
You know.
Jeff Logman here as we wrap up. Jeff, we look forward to bringing you back. We had a great time with you last year, breaking down the film on Tuesdays, and that's the plan again going forward. And, you know, we'll catch up with you sporadically as training camp continues. But final thought for today, been a talker for Tony and I throughout the summer. You know, Shad Khan says no mandate on a number of wins for this football team. How many games does this team need to win, though, just to not have that constant, you know, in-season and after-the-season discussion about whether or not Gus Bradley is the right man for the job?
Well, I think the only one that really can answer that is Shad Khan himself. But, you know, you want to see more so than what you see in the wins and loss column, you want to see something on the field that just keeps getting better and better and better. And I think that that's one thing that we saw with this football team over the last couple of years is that we saw them get better as a defense, but offensively we didn't see that. And as a team, you didn't necessarily see that last year. So I think if you see them improve throughout the course of the season and to take significant steps. Now, if you had to put a number on it, you know, how does 7 wins look? You know, how does 6 wins look? You know, but I think this team can be somewhere in that 7-8 win range, somewhere in there. And I think it would be a significant improvement.
You know, you win 7 and you're competitive in 3 or 4 other ones, expectations are going to be pretty damn high for the next year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, a second-year quarterback in a second system in a second year, offensively with a lot of new moving parts, and you have to temper your expectations a little bit, but it's going to be fun to watch. And I'm more excited about this season than I have been in a long time because I think they've got some pieces in place to be able to have success.
All right, don't let Osher hear this, but we just got one in on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line that simply said, Logaman is the best. Don't let Osher hear that. Oh, he's gone. There he goes. He's walking away. Jeff, good to talk to you, man. Glad you had a nice summer. We'll see a bunch more of you going forward.
All right, Mike, Tony, enjoy it. Looking forward to
there
it.
There he goes. Jeff Logaman of your Jaguar Broadcasting Team Color Commentator Extraordinaire and co-host of the Gus Bradley Show. And he's all over the dial doing Jaguar work. And as is Johnny O. Oh, no. So he'll join us next. Give us a look from the Jaguars.com perspective on what's been going on with practice and what he expects to see out there today. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at the Florida Blue practice fields on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What do you think, Ozo? We got to get you paid somehow, my brother. You like that?
Well,
oh, no.
Let's get a few more of those. Bump me up a little bit.
Oh, no, Jaguars. Hey, you know what? It's negotiable, baby.
That's right. That's
how
right.
You doing? Everything good?
Good, yeah. I mean, it's full pads and... Don't you get a sense? I mean, full pads is always a cool day. Yeah, the first
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
But you do get the sense, and maybe it's just me being around a little more, talking to Gus with Tony on Monday. You get the sense that people are a little more jacked about full pads this year because there's a sense that they're going to try to run more. We're going to see Parnell versus Odrick, Gerhardt, those guys. It's a little bit more of a storyline today than maybe it has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, a lot of guys that we want to see really for the first time in those kind of positions that you can't get the full gist of in an OTA.
Sure. And let's keep some perspective. They're not going to go out there and hit for 50
Come
minutes.
On.
You know, it's not going to be 1978 out there. But, you know, but we will see some hitting. We'll see some areas I think everybody's been waiting to see, especially with some of these new linemen, Can, Parnell, Odrick, guys like that.
I was listening to Greg Huntington on with Dan Hicken this morning. He was talking about it used to be full pads in the morning, special teams right after lunch, and if you were one of those guys trying to make the roster, you're out there for that, and then full pads a couple hours after that
and
one.
They had to walk to practice uphill both ways.
Of course they did. 8 miles. It just kept getting longer and longer.
No, I mean, it's interesting. They're in full pads for the first time today, and I think my favorite drill to this point of training camp has been that 9-on-7 running drill they did on Sunday.
It
I mean,
good.
That was a lot of fun, that inside running drill, not something you see a ton of, and I think, again, we talked about this early in the week, John, but this emphasis this team seems to be putting on trying to establish the run game for themselves, not only because I think they feel like they're better on the offensive line and probably better at running back, but to protect their young quarterback and let him be comfortable as well is vitally important for them going into the season.
Well, you hate to always use the Seattle analogy. I'm not going to sit here and say this team's going to look like Seattle this year. But offensively, for this team right now, that approach would make some sense. And then I think I said when we were talking on Monday, Tony, if you realize after a few games that Blake's feeling it, that he's progressing quicker than you maybe thought, then you put the ball in his hands the way you would a 5- and 6-year guy who can go win you games. You don't know that he's there yet. You know, the idea with with the number three overall pick is that he's going to be eventually. But right now, they clearly want to win, playing some smash mouth, for lack of a better word, playing some two tight ends, getting play action in there, and they think they need to be able to run. It stands to reason because that would play into what they think is going to be at least as good a defense as last year, if not better.
Right, and the thing, too, if you get to Blake to that point, presumably the running game has helped him feel more comfortable, right? And now you've got something for the defense to worry about. If you establish T.J. Yeldon or whomever that first month of the season, people are going to be looking for that, and you come out there. I mean, the Jags couldn't run the ball last year, and it made it very, very tough to go in.
And when they did, if you think about it, when they did run the ball, and there was a little period where they ran the ball well, and if you're Gus Bradley and you're sitting there in January and you look back on the season and say, okay, when were we good? When did we feel like we were competing? When did we feel like we were there with teams? And it was when they were running the ball well, Miami, Cleveland, first part of Dallas, and then it kind of went away. But there was a stretch there. Well, so if you're Gus, I think it's pretty logical. You say, well, I felt like that's when we were competitive against Miami. Was a good team. They really outplayed him in that first half, and if the offense would be able to get the ball in the end zone, they'd probably win that game. That was when I think it felt like he wanted it to look. So what did they do? Well, they ran. I think what's really interesting is, and I was as guilty of it as anybody, the big offseason theme, because he looked good in OTAs, was Yeldon, Yeldon, Yeldon. And I do think he will be the starter and he'll be the guy. But when you watch practice, I don't think it's going to be 25 carries a game, T.J. Yeldon, and then Gerhardt getting two and Denard getting one. The other two guys are doing some things that make you think it's not a foolish thing to think that it's going to be a rotation early and that Yeldon, I think, will gradually sort of move away and become the guy over time.
It's tough. I mean, we talked about this week. It's tough sometimes to gauge because you're playing against your own guys, right? So you don't know. And when guys look good, well, you're wondering, sure, are the guys across from them as good as they need to be? But I agree with you. Toby Gerhardt, for what you can tell in mostly non-contact practices, has looked strong running the football. Denard Robinson, you know, maybe at one point I looked and I started counting up, and I'm like, wow, you know. Let's not forget Clay Harbor, who's been looking good. You got Julius Thomas. So the tight end position has a couple of pass catchers. You got Mercedes Lewis. You got all these young receivers that you hope develop. Add Rashad Green to that mix. And now, you know, don't forget a guy like Denard that's got speed that can flip the field. And all of a sudden, you know, these guys start to click. You've got more playmakers, I think, than this team has had on the field at one point in a long time.
Well, what we just talked about, you listed a few guys who realistically are not Pro Bowl level elite guys.
Sure.
But now you've got Yeldon, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, maybe Marquise Lee. I think we all think that those four have Pro Bowl type talent in them if things go right.
No, but now you got help.
Right, and I'm not putting T.J. Yeldon in the Pro Bowl, but I'm saying a second-round high back like that,
right,
he could be a front-line player, I guess is my point. Well, now those guys who you're talking about, Clay Harbor, Mercedes Lewis, Allen Hurns, Robinson, Gerhardt, don't have to be the guy.
Right, they're in support.
But
roles.
I think they could be good supporting role guys. With Gerhardt, everybody sort of wants to poo-poo that. Well, we saw that last year in training camp, too, and then look what he did. I would dismiss the Gerhardt buzz a little bit if we hadn't seen a little bit of it at the end of last season. If there weren't a few flashes where you thought to yourself, well, maybe this is what they wanted, and maybe he was hurt, or maybe, you know, so I think it's going to be interesting to watch Gerhardt early. Was last year's ineffectiveness more injuries than maybe a lot of people wanted to believe?
Who takes the first snap of the season at running back?
You know, my guess is maybe Denard. Not that he's going to be a long-term starter, but if they're really committed to sort of making these young kids earn their way in, I think Yeldon is going to get the most carries in that game. I think he's going to get the most carries this season. It'll be one of those where you look at the starting lineup after the season in the media book, and you're like, oh, that's right, then I started the game. You know, but I don't think it's going to matter early on necessarily who starts that much. I do definitely think they're going to make T.J. Yeldon earn it. And there's no reason not to, because the two guys behind him, I think there's no reason to think those guys can't get it done, and there's no reason to really push Yeldon into the lineup if that's what you're wanting to do.
Talking about, you know, the offensive side of the ball, a guy that we haven't talked about much yet today, Mike, but a guy who's, my eyes at least, they follow him, they find him in every practice, and that's Marquise Lee. And what exactly his role is going to be, he looks like the type of guy that could be the explosive guy for this offense. That speed, make you miss guy, I know we talked about a little bit on Monday too, John, but I'm every time I come out here, my eyes somehow find Marquise Lee because he's that quick twitch, make you miss type of player. They need that in this offense. They got Julius Thomas, who looks like he's going to be steady, like a playmaker. Allen Robinson is a guy who's going to be in the right place at the right time. He's a good route runner. He's doing all the right things. Marquise Lee is a potential playmaker for this offense, and I think that's the missing piece right now, is who's going to be the big playmaker for this offense.
Well, that's what makes him, you know, so fascinating. He's almost like the guy that he's the great unknown. He might wind up being the sports center guy on this offense who everybody at the end of the season is talking about because he's got that kind of a talent. And yet I think it's fair that people are holding their breath a little bit, and that people, when they hear, you know, you talk about it, and I said almost the same thing you just did on Frank Frangie's show yesterday, your eyes are drawn to him in practice. And you can't help but watch him and think, boy, look at this guy athletically.
Yeah.
Look what he's able to do in flashes, and get excited about it. But I also get that people listening to this are thinking to themselves, oh, yeah, let's see it. Because he's been injured. He hasn't participated in OTAs. There is that thing that you're wondering about. Is he going to be another one of those guys? Is he going to be another one of those receivers who just doesn't make it? I think he's got tons of talent, and he's starting to look like the guy you're talking about.
Speaking of receivers that aren't going to make it, obviously Justin Blackmon in the news because Dave Caldwell addressed his situation. And you were there. I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I read through your words and other reporters, maybe exasperation from Dave Caldwell, kind of like, you know what, this guy had every opportunity, but he doesn't seem to want to make the effort to get back. Therefore, you know what, we're kind of washing our hands of him. We're going to try to recoup what money we can and move on.
I hate to put words in Dave's mouth on that. I get the sense that maybe exasperation is past. That, you know, I think he sort of knows it's very unrealistic to think he's going to come back. They weren't counting on him before. In terms of all the moves they've made, they haven't counted on Justin Blackmon in a long time. Before, though, I think there was sort of a thought of, well, maybe. You know, maybe he comes back. Maybe he comes back and he gives us a boost that we're not counting on.
Right, and what's the harm of keeping him on the roster?
I do want to clarify, it was written in some circles as if Dave said, I believe his career is over. He didn't say it that strong.
Correct.
He basically said, he was asked a question, and any time that you're around Dave in that sort of situation, be it draft, pre-draft, when he's available, he gets asked about Justin Blackmon. Well, yesterday he was asked about Justin Blackmon, and he basically, the news to me was that Dave, for the first time, talked about, after 2.5 years, there's really, it's a small likelihood, or there's a good chance that his skills have eroded after that much time. That, to me, shows where Dave's head is. It's like, how realistic is it really to think he's going to come back?
Right.
He's still holding out hope. It's not Dave's role to say that Justin Blackman's done, and he didn't say that. But he did say, realistically, you know, with each passing 6 months that he's out of the game, it would be more and more surprising if he made it back. So I just wanted to clarify that he really didn't come out and say, I believe his career is over. That was a little strong to me.
Yeah, the headline writers run away with that from time to time.
But
I agree with
there
that.
Is news, and it's not a reach to listen to Dave yesterday and say that even beyond 6 months ago, mentally at least, the ship has sailed in terms of him thinking that Justin's going to contribute for this team.
All right, let's wrap up with this today. Our question of the day, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships presents. We ask folks, now that pads are on, if you get a chance to come out to practice, who are you most looking forward to in a padded practice environment, maybe something we weren't able to see during OTAs? Who would that be for you?
Well, I'm going to steal Tony's idea. I'm sure he's already said it. Parnell Odrick is a fascinating matchup. But even beyond that, Scuda behind that, and then Gerhardt running behind that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch in terms of the power, in terms of the, you know, it's easy to say Yeldon, and I've been saying Yeldon all along, and you're going to watch him. But in these padded practice, if you're looking for some violence, if you're looking for what a padded football practice, you know, can be exciting for, those are the four guys to watch. And A.J. Cann, because this is where A.J. Cann maybe starts making the strides. I don't think he gets Beatles' job going into the season, but this is certainly where that storyline could start changing.
Right, those two spots, left guard and center, I think, you know, now the competition gets real for those guys.
It gets real, baby.
It gets real.
It gets real. Right.
You feel good sitting
that
in
that may be my headline tomorrow, right?
You like
now
that?
It gets real. It gets dot, real. Dot, dot.
You like, maybe you're inspired by sitting in Loggeman's seat right there. You think it's possible? Any good vibes left over for you?
No, not really.
Not really?
Yeah.
He took them with him.
Well, I mean, only one of us can love Jeff the way you do.
Right, that's true.
So I'll defer that to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Johnny O. O knows. He knows lots of stuff, and you can read him at Jaguars.com, at John Osier on Twitter as well. Go out there and go watch some practice.
I'm going to go watch some football practice, Mikey.
Do it!
All right.
There he goes. It gets real right now, Tony, for John Osier as he gets out there. And
gets real for everybody,
and watches
baby.
Those guys knocking heads out there. Coming up, this date in football history and the drive around the NFL. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. You know what I don't have on this date in football history, Tony?
What's that?
I don't mean birthdays. How about that?
Nobody was born?
Nobody was born. No one was born on this
August
date.
August 5th.
August 5th was a slow day.
If you were born today and you're listening, happy birthday.
You're not important. Okay, apparently you didn't make the list. LB's here.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi there. Ho there.
What's up?
My friend Brian was born today.
Oh, does that factor into this date in football history?
It does now, since
happy
you were struggling.
Happy birthday, Brian. I'm not struggling. I'm just saying, eight birthdays. She almost did a spit take right there.
We almost got it.
1967, Tony, the first time an AFL team beat an NFL team. The Denver Broncos took down Detroit 13-7. That had to be preseason.
Thanks a lot, Detroit.
Nobody's playing in August. What the heck? Except for these games. These were New Orleans beat Philadelphia 14-7 in Mexico City at the NFL Expo in 1978.
LA.
1996, KC thumped Dallas 32-6 in Monterrey, Mexico in the American Bowl. And a famous passing on this date, an NFL pioneer, Paul Brown, founder of the Browns and the Bengals, died at the age of 82 back in 1991. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yes, and there is trouble for a division rival for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We haven't gotten into it yet today, but a couple news stories breaking around that Houston Texans team yesterday. Trouble in big oil country as Jadeveon Clowney's dad has been arrested as a suspect on attempted murder in Carolina. And I'm sure for a guy who's trying to get back on the field, get back to full strength, had a wasted rookie year with all the expectations of Jadeveon Clowney, that it's nice to have to face that off-field stuff.
That's all he has to deal
right?
with.
Arian Foster, the big news, though, coming out of Houston Texans camp with the groin injury. Surgery is expected for Arian Foster. If he goes on the PUP list, then he's got to miss at least the first 8 weeks, I think it is. So
actually, the IR designated to return
right.
list.
And we'll see what happens with Arian Foster, but we've seen these types of injuries before, especially with running backs, wide receivers. Those types of players who have to use their legs as much as these guys do, they're not the same guy that year. So you would expect that even if Arian Foster can get back on the field, he's not going to be Arian Foster in 2015.
They're in trouble, man.
And for a Texans team that already lost Andre Johnson this offseason, DeAndre Hopkins, their number one wide receiver for the first time this year, they're trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be between Hoyer and Mallett. Arian Foster potentially out. It feels like the Texans are once again going to burn another year of J.J. Watt in his prime. And from a Jaguars perspective, good on them.
Yeah, that's fine. Them. But, I mean, look, it's not like they're not trying. It's, you know, it's not their fault that Arian Foster got hurt at this point in time. It's not like they said, well, let's not try to do something this all season. But you take him, proven Pro Bowl performer, you got a game plan for him. And now, welcome to triple coverage, DeAndre Hopkins.
No doubt.
Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, Jalen Strong manning the other side of the field as it is right now. So there you go.
No, it scares me.
Let's say hello to LB.
What's up?
Hi, LB. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Here comes your Helmets and Heels counterpart over
here. Oh, there she
Amanda
is.
Amanda Borges.
Did you know that she doesn't sweat, by the way?
She doesn't sweat?
She doesn't even
sweat. You're not sweat?
It's impossible.
Right?
Let's see if she can figure out the cooler. Oh, first try. First try.
Okay, some of the coolers, you have to pry them open, and other ones you twist.
Lauren
okay?
went over there. She asked if Mike and I wanted water
that was
right
very
before
nice
we were coming back.
Amanda didn't ask.
And so Lauren walked over there, and I'm watching her. Like, she's been gone too long to just go the 10 feet for the cooler. So I look over, and she's looking at me like, is it open? And I'm like, twist it. So she didn't know how to get into a water
I'm
cooler.
Not mechanically inclined, okay?
See, you leave this business, this job, and all of a sudden your skills evaporate like that so quickly.
Did I ever really have any skills?
I think so.
I mean, besides a music theme.
Those are strong.
We've
though.
Missed them.
I couldn't, you know what? I say that now. I say
day.
That, I know. They're horrible sometimes. But actually, sometimes
we make
they
make fun of each other every day, too. We like each other.
Right. Sometimes they weren't horrible. Which is,
well,
isn't that kind of the most Mike Dempsey compliment of all time?
I will take that as a very high compliment.
Sometimes you weren't very horrible.
I might frame that on my wall and have it signed by you.
Well, you're might have to pay for that, but you're not my producer anymore, Lauren Brooks.
I'm not.
You're making that big UNF money,
yeah,
you can
man.
Afford those kind of things, those kind of perks. But in all seriousness, Helmets and Heels, what do we have last night? I'm doing my own show now on weeknights, so I didn't get to listen as I typically am locked into Helmets and Heels.
That's a terrible excuse.
Yeah, I know. Well, I should get a little earphone, put it in my left ear,
right?
Do my show in the right ear.
That would be insane.
Wouldn't be confusing in the least bit.
Right.
Hi,
no.
Amanda Borges, by the
way.
Hey. How are you?
I am a little sweaty.
See, now that's what I'm going to be looking for. Is she sweating at any point?
Yeah, I don't know if you can see me sparkling a little.
You glisten.
Yeah.
That's nice, though.
Yeah, I try to
Ladies
do that.
Ladies glisten. Men are sweaty pigs.
Yeah. So. I'm more in the latter category, unfortunately. But yeah, last night we talked about the dumbest questions we've ever been asked. Do you... Gentlemen, can either of you think of a really dumb question you've ever been asked?
That one? Sorry.
Boom. He's back. He's back, baby.
That's good to see you, Lauren. It really is.
And I'm out.
What's the dumbest question I've ever been asked?
Or one that you've asked.
Hey, are you going to eat that? What do you think? Look at me. Yes, I'm going to eat that.
Good one.
Stupid.
Well, I told people how when I did the tailgate reporting last year, I would walk around, and as you saw me every week, I had a microphone and one little kind of pack that connected me with headphones back to you guys.
Yes.
In gate one. And everyone would ask me, is this going to be on TV? I'd be like,
yeah, hidden camera.
Where do you think
it's a hidden camera show? We do get asked, although, like here at practice, we have our own little area that we're in. But if you're on a typical remote, I mean, we've all had the headset on in the midst of a segment, and people come up and go, "Are you guys on the air?
Yeah. No.
What are you guys doing here today?
No, we're not on the air at all.
No, not at all. Nope. And I can hear you very clearly with these headsets.
Exactly.
I hear it. So,
what about you, Tony?
I don't know.
I bet the question you get all the time, or at least I get all the time about you, is, are you fat?
I get that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
You know, I actually think I asked Tony one time why his name is Fat Tony.
Yeah, and it's because of this guy.
Because I don't think it fits. I don't think it fits.
All great nicknames have been given by Mike Dempsey.
Because he's in the witness protection
program.
That's
right. It's an Italian mob thing.
It's a mob thing.
And it's funny because Mike gave me that nickname probably when I was 50 pounds lighter than I am right now.
He's tried to live up to it. He's done his best.
My nickname growing up by one of my mom's best friends, Susan, the infamous Susan of Shut Up Randy, speaking of that person, she called me fat girly my entire life until I actually did get fat in college, and then she finally stopped calling me
fat girly.
Like, in the most ironic way she called you that.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I was a chubby baby, but then I wore off it, and she's so
kind. A chubby baby.
I feel like you should be a chubby baby.
You want a chubby baby,
otherwise,
absolutely.
Your mom has been unkind to you.
We also talked about how to make baseball better, which may or may not have infuriated.
No, it didn't infuriate me.
Contract about four teams, get rid of the Twins, the Pirates,
Pirates? Ooh, you're not having Frank on,
yeah,
are you?
The Pirates, come for you. Like the Royals and the Braves.
Donna wants to get rid of the Rays.
Yeah, the Rays, yeah, the Rays.
Can you get rid of the Rays? Okay.
The Rays would be good. Yeah.
So, yep.
The Rays would be good.
You leave the Braves alone.
We'll probably leave the Royals, and they made the playoffs last year.
And then you have to have that song, Royals.
Don't know that
which
song.
The
what? Yes, you do.
Do I know that song? I don't.
Which the whole Bortles thing came out of. Bortles.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that right?
That came from the song Royals.
Yeah.
We could never be Royals. You know that song.
Oh, okay, I do.
Yeah.
I've heard that song. I don't know
after
it.
George Brett.
But I've heard it.
You know, Lauren only brought that up because she tries to sing on the air every chance she gets.
LB, what you got? Come on.
Like, if she could win American Idol, that would be her dream.
Trust me. It would be mine, too. And I have zero singing talent. How many times have I sang on this
Mike's
show over
here? Constantly singing.
I'll sing all the damn time. You can't say anything to me without me thinking that sounds like this lyric, and then I just start
singing. Exactly.
Okay. Do you try to sing well?
I can't sing well, so it's pointless.
He just sings.
I just sing. There's
the way
I
there's
sing.
No well when Mike sings.
There's
it's
no
just,
well.
He sings.
There was one time that I was producing the show, and somehow, some way, I did not communicate to Mike that we were coming back, and so I turned on the microphones, and he's just singing. And he finds out about 10 seconds in that we were actually live.
Oh, is that back? Okay.
And he was like, oh, my gosh. I did not intend for all of Jacksonville and all the surrounding counties.
But I have sang or sung, whatever is the proper terminology there. I have done that on the air.
Before. Have sung, I believe.
Have sung?
I have sung.
Have sung, yeah.
I have sung.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds
that's right. But yeah, Amanda, what have you seen out there so far today?
Well, guys, we got full pads on today.
Look at Lauren Brooks taking over this.
I know. Put her on the air and it's
let's
her
bring
show.
It back to football, boys. Huh?
I thought that's why we were here.
How about it? Huh? What have you seen out there, Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even my segment yet, technically, Lauren.
So oh, I didn't know
let's
we
not
were...
jump the gun
she,
here.
She's chewing up your airtime.
Oh, never mind. No one cares about you.
I like this dynamic, though. This is only half of what you get on Helmets and Heels.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Correct.
See?
Yeah, I was watching the O-line go versus the D-line, and almost every time I saw before I came over here, the O-line won.
They did.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I
good.
Saw,
they need
I saw Jokel
something.
Beat up Avery Jones. No, I saw Bowenko beat up Avery Jones.
Yep. Yep.
And I saw
AJ Cann
well,
out there was
AJ Cann and
nice.
Young were all doing really well too.
Yep.
So that's
oh, yeah.
impressive. I like the backup linemen to kick some booty.
We yep. need it. We need it because they need to run the football, as they've discussed at
several
length.
Times. Yep. Ad nauseum, I believe, is that phrase.
Yes. Just ask Hacker. It's somewhere in that neighborhood when Hacker says it. It's not quite ad nauseum. I don't think he knows what the expression is exactly, but he uses it quite frequently.
So I have a question. Can we use the term GPS that's getting used, you know, for workload for players? Can we use that for the fields, too?
One is G, one is P, one is S?
Well, no, as in, like, the field, the reason that they're not playing on the field closest
they're
to
on
us
S right
is
now.
Because this field has gotten too much workload, a.k.a. GPS.
Actually, I heard from a little PR birdie that the drainage on the fields closest to the fans are not as good. The drainage is not as good as the field farther away.
Well,
and it rained, when was that? Monday?
Monday, yep. Pretty
makes
much
sense.
All day.
This was the last field that was a field turf field, so they
right.
didn't probably have the same kind of drainage underneath,
right.
is my guess, on field G, for folks who are picturing this in their
right.
head.
So they may be back
P-S.
On it tomorrow.
Yes.
For the fans to come out tomorrow, I'm guessing they'll be on
they might be,
this
yeah.
field tomorrow or Friday would be
they
my
should
guess.
Be.
Yeah.
They
which,
should
by
be.
The way, I will be out here Friday with the UNF men's basketball coaching staff.
Cool.
Coach Driscoll and all the boys. So you have not seen the last of me.
It's
this
quite
week.
A coup. It's quite a coup.
Yeah, I was going to say, when did we ask Lauren when she'd be back out here? Did we ask her that?
Tony, can you turn
that's
off that
totally
mic?
That's totally unnecessary, Amanda.
Just whatever button you turn, I'll do it myself if you need
LB,
me
LB, you're welcome to stick around and invade
yeah,
you know,
go for
Amanda's
it.
Segment coming
I don't
up
need
here.
Any airtime, really.
You know what? I could give her a pop quiz.
In fact, we'll come back with a Helmets and Heels rejoin. Tony and I will go watch some offensive line play coming up. Either way, we got to step aside quickly. I don't know if LB will be here when we return or not, but I certainly hope so. How about that? If you'd like to get in, 641-1010, good luck, because we got a lot of people talking amongst ourselves right now. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We continue live from the Florida Blue practice field. Is this Episcopal we got to our immediate
yeah.
left?
Yeah, Mark Brunell brought the boys out
players.
There.
Oh, we're stick-to-itiveness, man. Huh? calling quits already?
I don't know. They haven't even done 11-on-11.
Seriously. Hey, Episcopal, it's not like you're in class yet, right? Are they? They're not in class yet, are they? We go back next week. St. John's County back in school next week.
Don't ask me about school schedules.
You know what that means, Tony? It means I'll start coming in earlier because I got to drop Colin off for school, a little so-and-so.
What time do you show up, Tony?
For what? School?
No, for Never. Jaguars today.
For Jaguars today, usually around 9.
All right.
A whole hour.
Yeah.
Let me give you the news from the practice field. Robert Brown of WJSD.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, Mike. I don't want to hear it.
Tweeting.
I already know what you're going to say, and I don't want to hear it.
Marquise Lee pulls up short on a passing play. On the sideline now with the helmet off, Lee, this is according to Robert Brown of WJXT on Twitter, Lee visibly in pain, hobbled off during the last play, Lee walking on his own accord, trainers attending to him. That is all we know.
That sounds like a hammy.
At the moment. Lauren Brooks has diagnosed him.
Sounds like a hammy.
Whenever you pull up short, that's a hammy.
We're on field E over here. We're on field S over there, but Lauren has diagnosed the injury.
Not by sight, but by sound.
By sound. Well, you know what? It does sound like it could be a hammy. It could be a calf.
It could be
a strain. It could be a lot of things.
It could. I'm certainly hoping it's nothing other than a twinge.
And unlike Tom McManus and Dave Wydell, who infamously, Tony, were... No speculation. What was it? No fabrication, no speculation.
Yeah.
Just the real deal. Okay. We will speculate as long as we tell you we're speculating.
I can tell you what I'm probably not speculating on based on the fact that he's being attended to by trainers right now. Look, I don't know if he'll practice the rest of this week. I'm guessing you're probably not going to see him Saturday night. And while nobody said it yet, you're probably not going to see him out of the scrimmage on Saturday.
Well, this about locks it up, doesn't it? I mean, they're already going the bubble wrap treatment with him, Amanda. People are talking up Allen Hurns. Allen Hurns had a very nice rookie season, particularly because he was undrafted last year. And I think a lot of people just assume, well, Marquise Lee is the highest drafted player in that receiving core. He's going to win that spot opposite Allen Robinson. So far, Hurns has been holding steady at that spot.
One thing I can guarantee is that you can't assume anything, especially at this point. But it's actually ironic because yesterday we were talking about how Marquise Lee is injury prone, and we kind of debated on that because we're like, well, you know, just because he was injured, was he only injured once?
A couple of times.
A couple of times.
He was injured before the season started,
right.
And then he had some injuries during the season.
Right, and so, you know, some of us were like, well, it's not really fair to say just because he's been injured a few times. And others are like, well, yeah, it is fair to say. And then this happens today. We don't know what it is. It could be, you know, just a cramp. Who knows? But I don't think it's safe to assume that Marquise Lee gets that starting role. Like you said, Allen Hurns has showed up during camp. There are a couple other guys as well. Aurelius Ben, that's Frank's guy. He's shown up. Allen Robinson.
Frank's got that Illinois bias.
Frank loves Aurelius Ben.
He's got an Illinois bias.
Oh, yeah.
He probably
thinks Zook should be coaching this team. All right, I know. Frank's out there right now. Frank's out there right now. He doesn't hear me, but I would tell him that, and he would probably half agree with me.
Oh, yeah. You know, Greg Jenkins, who's new out here.
He's the new number 18.
He is. And he's done pretty well, too. So they've got some receivers that are competing, and so at this point, you can't really assume anything.
I thought Greg Jenkins had one really nice pass down the seam on Sunday, Tony, mm-hmm. that he snatched hand catch out in front of him and made a little subtle move to the inside. Defensive back went the other way, and it looked like it would have been a long touchdown.
Sure. Look, it's really tough, right? At the bottom of that wide receiver position, I think it's going to be really tough. And it's what do they want out of that fifth or sixth wide receiver if they decide to keep six.
And Jenkins has return experience.
Right, which I don't know. And that, I think a lot of it depends on if they feel good about Corey Grant as a returner, too. Like, if that's a role they feel like he can play for this team and they're okay with Rashad Green, right? Do they decide to go, instead of we need a special teams returner in that route, maybe someone that can help them on special teams?
Coverage guy.
Right, but not necessarily be a returner. I know we talk about Jenkins. We talk about Aurelius Ben. The guy who always catches my eye every time I come out here is Tony Washington. And he has for the last couple of off seasons. I don't know if he has any chance of making this roster, but I at least see the guy making plays from time to time, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all acknowledge Joe Coward is leaving the practice area to go do a radio show called XL Primetime.
He looks like he's still working for the PGA Tour out here.
He's so smooth. He might have got 9 holes in this morning.
I hope he did.
He probably did.
But the marquee story, I mean, it just remains... You don't know if it's severe at all, right?
Oh, we don't know if it's anything.
He may go back into practice today. We don't know. But it's just this little aggravation that you have, right? Whether you're covering or a fan of this team, we talked about it with John Osier in the last hour. It doesn't feel like they have that big play, big time threat in this offense right now. And Marquise Lee is the guy that it looks like he can provide that. You know, he's the guy that can average 18, 19 yards a catch for you in a ball game. And I think they got a bunch of steady guys, but they don't have that game breaker. And
like
I'm not
Amari
sure that Marquise is, right? I'm not sure that Marquise is, but I think he's their best chance at having it currently on this roster.
I think we've seen Hearns with double moves get open down the field. I think Allen Robinson has deceptive speed, but Marquise Lee, and you brought this up in the past, is a guy who can catch a 5-yard hitch and make one guy miss, and he's got that speed.
Quick.
He and Denard Robinson are the two guys that can do that in the offense, but you're going to see Marquise be given many more opportunities. I still see them throwing a lot of wide receiver screens to him when he's in there, because they're looking for a way to just get him into the flow of things. You know, we're out there on Sunday, and he's just wide open in the end zone, and he's waiting on the ball to come to him, and Tool threw it, and he doesn't have a cannon, so he's probably, you know, he wanted to meet the ball, but instead of jumping towards it, he just kind of jumps straight up and double clutches it, and he's wide open and you get in the NFL, and he just drops it on the ground.
You don't want to see wide receivers doing push-ups in practice.
No.
Like, you just don't want to see wide receivers doing the push-ups in practice, and Marquise had a rep where he had to. Look, he is, I think, the potential big playmaker. He's also the spur in the side guy for opponents, because he's a talker. He's the guy who spikes the ball in your face after he makes the catch. Even if it's first catch of the game, it's the third quarter, he's going to talk to you the entire time. And when he makes a play, he lets everybody know about it. He has that kind of attitude. I don't think they have a lot of that.
They got Sergio Brown. Sergio Brown is...
Did you hear him? Were you on the sideline? Oh, yeah, we were standing next to each other.
Right, we're right there.
Bernard Pierce was not happy with him.
He's just running. Oh, no, Bernard Pierce. Bernard Pierce, by the way, you look at the numbers game. At this point, he's got to almost make the team, doesn't he?
Mm.
You don't think? I mean, it depends, I guess, on how many they're going to keep at that position. And if Corey Grant is kept, as a running back, he's got to have some running back value, because you won't keep just a kick returner, you know, because how many kick returns do you even see anymore in the NFL with the new rules and everything? It's more important that you have a quality punt returner, I think. But put it this way, Pierce, to me, I've always thought he's just a pretty pedestrian average guy. He's looked pretty decent in the opportunities he's had out here, and maybe it comes down to a numbers game and he gets chopped, but I wouldn't be shocked. I would have been surprised this summer if Bernard Pierce made the football team, but maybe not so much now. They got a little depth now, right?
I think that's obviously the massive difference between last year and this year. Last year we were scrambling to find people that could suffice as backups. And this year it's like, oh, there's that person, and there's that person, and there's that person, especially on the offensive line, which is going to be the key.
Well, at this point last year, we were talking about Mike Brewster and Jock McClendon fighting for the center spot. And guys
trying to talk ourselves into it, like, this is going to work.
And those guys can't find a spot on an NFL roster.
No.
I mean, that's the level that they were at places last year. And this year it's like, we got Wisniewski and Bowenko. And you feel like they're not going to, but if they cut either one of those guys, they'd be on the team tomorrow, right?
I think that's
the difference.
That's the barometer, Amanda.
Did you say get snapped up in a second?
Yeah.
Nicely done.
I like that.
What is that?
Center. They're centers.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even do it on purpose.
It was subconsciously
an accidental pun
is what I am.
But, well, I'll point them out, don't you worry.
But truly, Amanda, I think that's the difference. When you'll tell if this team is starting to turn the corner by each wave of cuts, how quickly are the players are letting go acquired by other teams, right? Which means that they're having to make tough decisions, which they really haven't had to do that much in the last few years.
They're definitely going to have to make tough decisions. Back to the offensive line, Doug Marrone, and I obviously wasn't here last year, but Doug Marrone makes such a big difference coaching the offensive line. When you watch him, he's so hands-on. He's you know, maneuvering and challenging, like, their stance and how hard they hit. And I talked to Bowenko about that, too, and he's like, yeah, he's a challenging guy. He's very hands-on. He pushes us, and that's exactly what the offensive line needs. But it's still so hard to know who's going to get cut and when. I mean, this is only the first day with pads.
Sure.
So I'd say, you know, first cuts won't be made until at least after this weekend, I would say.
Oh, look, they've got to go through. You got to put them in these situations where they risk injury because you have to find out about these guys. But we say it, and we don't just say it to say it. The most important thing kind of is just getting out of the preseason healthy.
Yep.
You saw that yesterday with Houston. That was Arian Foster's last rep of practice when he tore the groin. Actually, it was Sunday when he did it, I think, and the news came out yesterday. Something like that. Maybe it was Monday.
No, it was Monday he got hurt. The news
Monday,
came out
the
yesterday.
News came out yesterday. I'm losing
had
track
only
of
they
my
blown
days.
Those three horns.
Right. Look, nobody here in Jacksonville is going to feel sorry for that franchise, but that is just the risk
that's
you
the
run
NFL.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
And here's a veteran guy. So certainly the younger guys, I'm going to take it easy on these guys, but damn.
Because they're
you know?
Fighting for a spot themselves.
But we got less than 6 weeks to go. Let's get to week one mostly intact, please.
Talking about Doug Marrone, too, in the offensive line, I chuckle when I watch Doug Marrone because he looks like a guy who played offensive lineman in the league for like 10 because he's a big guy and you can tell his legs aren't totally there anymore. He's one of those, but when they're doing just the offensive line drills, he'll basically line up like he's the middle linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll go to the ball where he would go on that play so that they have an idea when they don't have defenders over there helping him out. And it's watching this guy who's been retired for a while, who's got the bad legs, and you can tell, kind of jogging to the spot. It cracks me up every
but
time I watch
him. Much like Jerry Sullivan with the receivers, Doug Marrone's in somebody's ear after every rep.
Oh, yeah.
Whether that's a team drill or individual one-on-ones, he really is... a hands-on guy. And look, this is not a knock on Luke Butkus, but George Yarnow, you know, got cancer and hope he's doing well. But that, you know, it cost him their offensive line coach last year. And it's
certainly
hard to estimate the impact of that. You look at the Bucs last year, Jeff Tedford had a family situation and they had no offense coordinator for the whole year. You know, that has a big impact, having the proper coaches in place and helping these guys get better. We assume they come into the league ready to play, but there's certainly player development going on. All right, you ladies need to get back out there and enjoy the sunshine.
You're kicking us out, huh?
And well, you can
hips,
you can
hands.
Hang around if you like to.
No, I got to go watch practice.
I like this helmets and heels kind of
this
the
is
vibe
nice.
We got going on here, Tony. This is good. Go out there, learn more about our Jacksonville Jaguars, and we appreciate you ladies stopping by, and we'll look forward to talking
thanks,
to you
boys.
Later
thanks,
this
guys.
Week. You got
stay
it.
Stay cool in
check
the shade over
later.
Here.
Amanda Borges and Lauren Brooks here with us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Do we still have Jerome on the line there, Tyler? Let's squeeze him in before we take a break. 641-1010 is the number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Good morning, Jerome.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Good.
What's up?
I was going to ask which one would you did y'all think was the biggest question mark, Luke Joeckel or Marquise Lee? But barring this injury that y'all just mentioned, I don't know. I don't know. Should I pull it back or not? Pull the question back.
I'll put it this way. They're both big question marks. So regardless, Lee, we don't know. And look, let's not overplay. This could be a twinge. And
yeah, it could be nothing.
He could be back out on the field already. I'm not 100% sure. We're three fields away. But Luke, Jerome, as we know, has a lot to answer for this year. You know, when we talk about the improvements on this offensive line, we talk about the competition at left guard and center, we talk about Linder ascending, and we talk about an upgrade at right tackle, and the big question mark is the left tackle.
No, for me, it is Joeckel, and I think it's because they can be okay on offense without Marquise Lee.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll be fine.
They'll put Rashad Green in there.
Right. They got guys that they're not going to do it at the level that you think Marquise Lee potentially could do it, right? But you'd think they'd be all right. I don't know that they have an answer at left tackle if it's not Luke Joeckel on this roster. And even with all the improvement around him, on a week-by-week basis, Luke Joeckel is going to be the guy staring at the best pass rusher for whatever opponent they're playing on a week-by-week basis. And they need him to be... It'd be nice if he was great, right, in 2015, but they need him to be good.
Middle of the pack would be
right.
A big step in the right direction.
So that you can see all the other stuff that you feel like is improving around him, keep that level up too, where it doesn't feel like, yeah, these four guys are doing a really good job, but there's Luke Jokel not getting it done at left tackle, which is the most crucial spot on that offensive line.
You know, look, everyone talks about Dallas's offensive line and the impact they had on DeMarco Murray's season. Now, DeMarco Murray, I think, gets undervalued somewhat because of that, but it just goes to show you, look, they move on from him. They don't do anything there except bring in an oft-injured Darren McFadden, who's probably not going to start for them,
sure,
because they feel like no matter who they put back there is going to be somewhat successful. And, you know, that's the point you want to get to, where no matter who you roll out, and then if you do have a back like T.J. Yeldon, who maybe has some special traits with the quickness with the feet and the decisive cuts, and you pair that with the offensive line playing, you start to see where it could go.
Talking about Dallas, how much Tyron Smith and his ability at left tackle frees everybody else up on that offensive line. They did a two-hour special from Cowboys training camp last night on ESPN, and I had it on. It was muted while I was doing the show last night, and so I'm keeping an eye on it, and they're going through a highlight package with Tyron Smith, right? And it's incredible. I mean, they just he's on his own. Like, he's out there, he's going to handle whatever's in front of him. They don't have to worry about anything at that left tackle spot. And everybody else, if they need to double team somebody, they can. They're free to do what they need to do on that offensive line. But the tone is set by what they have at left tackle,
right,
and how great he is. I'm not saying Jokel needs to be that. It'd be nice if he turns into that. He's not that right now, clearly. We need him to be good so that we don't have to worry about left tackle.
So you're always right. You're always trying to make up for it or give him help, beyond the norm at that spot. All right, we got to take a quick time out here. We're going to come back, man. It's flying by this morning. Jags on the practice field, starting to warm up a little bit out here as well. If you'd like to get in before the show is over with 641-1010, you can tweet us or text us, excuse me, at that number as well in the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. But today, we threw a little haphazard impromptu question out there at you. Full pad practice, assuming you get a chance to see these guys in full pad sometime in the next week and a half, who are you most looking forward to seeing now that it's in a full padded environment? We'll get to some of your responses to that, and we'll discuss some of the candidates for that as well as we continue along. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today coming down the home stretch here. For us, anyway, it doesn't look like practice anywhere close to wrapping up. Period 7 is what I see, Tony. You usually go at least 12 periods of practice, broken up into various disciplines and drills. So hopefully we'll get a chance to hustle on over to Field S and check that out towards the end of practice. We've seen a bunch of 1010XL representing out here today. Frank Frangie's been out here all morning. Hacker's out there. I didn't see him leave. Is Hack still here? I don't know if he's here or not.
I haven't seen him walk out.
Joe C. just left us a little while ago.
If he hadn't left,
Brooks, Amanda.
He needs to get on his horse.
Right. Starting time. Well, they got three hosts there, man. Somebody can fill in for a couple minutes without Hack. Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, we'll take a look at. By the way, whatever sweat glands Amanda Borges does not possess, I got them. I got them from her, okay? I basically had to wring myself out when we left the other day. It wasn't even that hot.
No.
You know, we got it easy.
It was nice this weekend.
Under the tent with the breeze blowing, I may have the sweat glands activating at this point. But this morning we asked you, with pads going on and the hitting is starting, for real, who do you want to see in that kind of environment, Tony? What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Duval Doom. The O-line getting the best of people from Andy. Boring answer, but Blake Bortles, if he plays anywhere near his true potential, he will be electric. From Mike, Blake Bortles. From Wiggleman, we got AJ Can. From Chris, who came by and said hello. What's up, Chris?
What up, Chef Jags?
TJ Yeldon and the offensive line, hashtag run first. From Brian, he's with me, Parnell versus Audrick. And from Joey, we got everyone on the O-line and Yeldon and the D-line. Everybody, really. Hashtag somebody hit somebody. From Robbie, Audrick, Parnell, Yeldon. Loved seeing them without pads on Saturday and Sunday. Can't wait to see them in the pads. And from Dusty, TJ, but they are hard to see on that side. Hashtag still beats working.
No doubt about it.
He came by and
King
said hello.
Dusty one on Twitter said hello as well. I didn't realize that was him. So you got to spend some quality time with him. I just gave him the what's up nod from far across the table. But, you know, look, it comes down. There's certain positions that are more physical than others. And to me, look, you can always answer Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles answered just about any question relevant to the Jaguars in a positive way. that you hope for some improvement from or what you want to see. But to me, I could see a lot from him in any kind of practice. He's one of the guys that you're going to see how he's throwing the football. You're going to see the accuracy, the timing, all that stuff. So give me something that I haven't seen so far. And I would, if there were one guy, I would be with you. Mount Parnell, whatever you want to call it. That guy is a freaking beast. But I think that left guard and that center competition is where
it's
going to shine.
Right, yeah. On the offensive line, that's where it's going to heat up because of the competition for starting spots there along the offensive line. I think, right tackle is becoming more and more important in the league, it feels like. And in the division the Jaguars are in, where you're going to face J.J. Watt from that right tackle spot a couple times a year.
You're going to run it right at him.
Right. You want to be able to be strong in that spot. And it feels like that attitude we were talking about with the Cowboys offensive line, that Parnell, at least early on, has brought that into Jaguars camp, and I'm curious to see how that translates now that they are in the full pads here for the next couple days leading up to a scrimmage on Saturday night when everybody, you know, you don't just have to be among the 2,500 that can get the day off at 10 o'clock, right?
Right.
If you want to come see those guys, you can on Saturday night, as they'll be popping.
You know who
can't?
Yours truly, working.
You got to work, buddy.
Got to work, baby. It's that time of year. Shows. Rakeith Waters, what is he doing? Is he
taking
a good idea to take a picture of us over here?
Nobody wants to see this.
Nobody wants to see it.
The girls left.
Right, when Amanda and Lauren are here, take all the pictures you want. It makes total sense. Boy, fun day. These go by so quickly.
Yep.
We had O'Halloran to start us off. We had Jeff Logman popping in. And for folks who've been asking about his return on a full-time basis, we're shooting for a couple weeks from now. If we get all the details ironed out, we're hoping the week of the first preseason game. And Tuesday will be his typical day as it was last year, which gives him a day on Monday to really watch a film, evaluate what we all saw on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and then give you a little bit more of a insider breakdown on that.
Jeff's a tape guy, man. He joined us today. He's like, you know, I was watching the tape from Sunday's practice.
Right.
It's like, I wanted to be like, well, where can I get that?
Right.
You know, like, I'd love to be able to
can,
go
can
back
I subscribe to an insider package and get that kind of stuff? You know, the problem with that is, man, you don't want that. I guess it's different if it's open to the public. A lot of that stuff gets out, but I don't think they want to post it for opponents. You know
no,
what I mean?
No.
So that kind of thing going on. But
you can trust me, Jags. No one else will see it.
Absolutely.
Me.
Just give it to me and Tony. We'll take a little private file transfer service right to our, I don't know. I'm talking technology. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Tony. Anyway,
Bail.
Thanks to Johnny O for joining us today. Warren Brooks and Amanda Borges. Thanks to Rakeith Waters and everybody with the RV crew out here, the broadcast bus crew, the general RV broadcast bus, thanks to all of you out there for listening as well. So that's really going to do it for us today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Appreciate those guys greatly for sponsoring the show every Wednesday. Back out here tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back out at training camp tomorrow.
Tony, critical question. You know what's coming for tomorrow. What is the tent situation for tomorrow?
We look good for a tent.
We look good for a tent.
I'm not 100% positive, but I think we look good for a tent tomorrow.
Man, I tell you what, you're going to have to ring out this headset otherwise, brother. That's just the way it's going to be. All right, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and all the aforementioned, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're officially wrapping up Jaguars today, but we'll stick around and say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. Coming up next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.